A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've ever wondered why the world operates the way it does, maybe why certain borders exist, or you know why cynicism became such a big part of the 20th century, well, the answer often seems to lead back to one huge event.
It really does. And today, we're diving deep into that foundational catastrophe. We're pulling insights from Sir Michael Howard's major work, The First World War.
Yeah, and our goal here is pretty ambitious. We're using Howard's brilliant analysis to really get at his core idea.
Yeah.
That World War I wasn't just another war, it was the transformative catalyst. The thing that violently shattered the old European order and basically gave birth to the modern world we know.
Right.
We're not just listing battles, we're trying to understand what actually broke.
And that's exactly why this deep dive matters so much for you, the listener. Howard doesn't treat this like purely military history. No. He shows that if you want a grasp what came next.
Like fascism, communism.
Exactly. Those movements, even current global power dynamics.
Yeah.
You have to see that the First World War basically set the whole chessboard. It laid down the fundamental problems we're, frankly, still grappling with today.
Okay, so before we unpack the book itself, let's talk about the author, Sir Michael Howard. Lived 1922 to 2019. And he wasn't just any academic, was he?
No, not at all. Arguably the most distinguished military historian of his generation.
And what gives his work that weight, that gravitas?
Well, it's his background. He was a veteran of World War II. He served in the Italian campaign, even earned the Military Cross. He saw 20th century mechanized warfare up close.
Wow. I find that fascinating. A decorated soldier before becoming a historian. That must change how he looks at the tactics, the realities of war, especially the one right before his own.
Oh, absolutely. It grounds his analysis. He wasn't just working from archives. He had this visceral sense of the horror, the scale, sometimes the sheer incompetence involved.
Hmm.
And academically, his impact was huge. Co-founded the War Studies Department at King's College London, held top posts at Oxford. But what makes his viewpoint really stand out is how interdisciplinary it is.
So not just troop movements and battle plan.
Exactly. He follows Clausewitz's war as an extension of politics, but he really broadens that. He brings in society, economics, culture. For Howard, understanding the conflict means understanding the entire society that chose to wage it, flaws and all.
Okay, let's get to the book's main argument then. Howard pushes back against the idea that the war was, you know, unavoidable or just some tragic mistake.
Right.
He says it was a deliberate political and strategic miscalculation. Leaders fundamentally misunderstood the era they were living in.
And at this match, that's the absolute core insight. The war definitively ended that stable, kind of predictable 19th century European system. The leaders in 1914, they were stuck with 19th century thinking.
How so?
Well, they were steeped in intense nationalism, this belief in military glory and social Darwinist ideas.
Maybe we should quickly explain social Darwinism for listeners.
Good idea. It's essentially this belief that nations are in constant struggle, that they have to prove their fitness through conflict. War is seen as necessary, almost purifying. Only the strongest societies deserve to survive. A pretty brutal outlook.
Definitely.
And these leaders holding those ideas ran headlong into the reality of 20th century industrialized military tech, machine guns, heavy artillery. It was a catastrophic failure of imagination meeting the machine age.
And the result was just devastation.
Total devastation.
Right.
Howard's book gives us that complete picture, diplomatic breakdown, military reality, the social upheaval, the political fallout that just wiped four great empires off the map.
Okay, let's break it down. Starting with the origins, what Howard calls the coming of war. He paints Europe not as stable, but as a tinderbox.
Yeah, a tinderbox fueled by these really rigid alliance systems. You had the Triple Alliance on one side, the Triple Entente on the other, plus this pervasive culture of militarism.
And then the spark. The assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand in Sarajevo. Howard meticulously traces that cascade of missteps.
Mm.
Austria-Hungary determined to crush Serbia.
Germany giving them that infamous blank check, basically unconditional support.
And suddenly, the whole system just locks up. No room to maneuver.
The speed of it all is what Howard finds so striking. And he places a lot of the blame on the rigid military timetables governing those alliances.
Right, like the Schlieffen Plan.
Exactly, Germany's plan. Once Russia started mobilizing its massive army, Germany felt it had to mobilize immediately. Their entire strategy depended on knocking out France quickly, which meant invading through neutral Belgium.
So the military plan itself demanded violating neutrality right at the start. The generals basically hijacked the diplomacy.
Pretty much. Once that mobilization clock started ticking, there were effectively no diplomatic off-ramps. Political leaders lost control. It guaranteed Britain would get involved because of Belgium, and boom, it's a world war. And then, once the fighting starts, we instantly see the failure of the opening campaigns. Everyone expected a short, decisive war. Like back in the 1870s.
But that was completely wrong.
Disastrously wrong. And here's that technological paradox again. 19th century tactics, infantry charges, cavalry maybe hitting 20th century defensive firepower.
Machine guns, rapid fire artillery, barbed wire.
Yeah, it just ground everything to a halt almost immediately. Created that horrific, static trench warfare stalemate on the Western Front that everyone pictures.
And that leads directly to the horrifying concept of attrition. The war of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. It stopped being about brilliant maneuvers.
And became about industrialized slaughter, mathematical killing. You think of Verdun. The German goal was explicitly to bleed France white, just kill soldiers faster than they could be replaced.
It's chilling. And the Somme, too. Such a stark example of the cost. 60,000 British casualties on the first day.
Unimaginable.
It really stops being about glory or land games, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes this grim industrial contest which society can churn out more bodies, more shells for longer.
Precisely. And because of that sheer scale of required effort, the war inevitably becomes total war. Howard really hammers this point, the complete mobilization of entire societies.
Blurring that line between soldier and civilian.
Completely. The home front becomes just as critical as the battlefront.
And that's where you see massive state intervention, you know.
Yeah.
Things governments had never done before.
Overnight. Rationing, controlling industries, massive propaganda campaigns. And crucially, the huge demand for labor pulls millions of women into factories, into roles they'd never held before.
Which must have fundamentally challenged traditional gender roles.
Absolutely. It accelerated social change at a pace nobody could have predicted, faster than any politician planned.
And all this strain, this exhaustion, sets the scene for the big turning point.
The U.S. entry. Germany makes that fatal gamble, resuming unrestricted submarine warfare, sinking civilian ships, plus the Zimmermann telegram trying to get Mexico involved.
Big mistakes.
Huge. Howard stresses, though, that America's entry wasn't immediately decisive because of troop numbers. It was about the sheer industrial and financial might America brought.
Ah, okay.
It guaranteed that the Central Powers, who were already stretched to breaking point, simply could not win a long war of exhaustion against this, well, basically limitless supply chain.
Game over eventually.
Eventually, yes. And this immense pressure cooker also shattered political stability internally. Howard covers this in detail, especially the two Russian revolutions in 1917.
Which took Russia out of the war.
Right. That allowed Germany to shift troops back west for one last desperate offensive. But the damage to the old imperial systems was already done. Russia was just the first domino.
And then we get to the end, Chapter 9, and Howard's really quite damning analysis of the peace settlement at Versailles. He calls it a disastrous compromise.
It really was a deeply flawed peace.
How so? What made it so disastrous?
Well, it managed to be harsh enough. You know, the war guilt clause, the massive reparations demanded from Germany to cripple their economy and create this profound, lasting sense of national humiliation.
Fuel for extremism later on.
Exactly what extremists like Hitler later weaponized. But, and this is the key part, it was not harsh enough to actually prevent Germany from eventually recovering and seeking revenge. It basically just guaranteed an intermission before the next even bigger conflict.
So it punished but didn't secure the peace.
You got it. It created grievances without ensuring long-term security. Okay, let's pivot to the big takeaways, the core themes Howard leaves us with. First up, the paradox of modern warfare.
Right. This idea that technology, which was supposed to make war faster and more decisive.
The exact opposite. Machine guns, artillery, they created these brutal, prolonged stalemates. It's a powerful reminder, isn't it? How solutions to old problems often create entirely new, unforeseen ones.
Like today, maybe, with digital technology. We rely on it for security, but that reliance creates massive new cybersecurity threats.
That's a great parallel. And that lack of foresight connects directly to the second theme. The failure of imagination.
The leaders being stuck in the past.
Yes. Howard argues they went into this war with outdated, almost Napoleonic ideas about offense and glory. They just couldn't adapt. They kept ordering frontal assaults against machine guns because that's what the doctrine said. Suicidal.
Stubbornly sticking to the old playbook.
And that failure to question your core assumptions, your doctrine, That's a huge lesson for leaders today in any field, business, politics, whatever. If your environment fundamentally changes, but you cling to the old way, the sunk costs, you're heading for disaster.
Definitely. And the ultimate outcome of all this failure. The third theme, the war is a cultural catastrophe.
Howard argues it just shattered that 19th century optimism, the belief in progress, reason, stability, gone, replaced by deep disillusionment, cynicism.
Which created fertile ground for radical ideologies.
Exactly. Fascism, communism, they thrived in that post-war landscape of ruin and broken belief systems.
Howard also had a real knack for summing things up powerfully. Let's touch on a few of his key ideas or quotes that really capture his thinking.
Yeah, he was brilliant at that. Okay, first on the origins. He says the war resulted from a tragic miscalculation by men who saw themselves as honorable servants of their countries.
So, not necessarily evil men plotting, but a systemic failure.
A failure of imagination among the elite. Yeah, not a criminal conspiracy, but something more mundane and yet catastrophic.
And then reflecting on just how deep the changes went, another key idea. The war transformed not only how Europeans fought, but how they lived, worked, and thought about themselves and their societies.
It changed everything. There was simply no going back to the world before 1914. It was gone.
And finally, his point about the war's lasting legacy.
The war did not end European civilization, but it did end the European century. A very powerful line. It marks that definitive shift. The beginning of Europe's global decline, relatively speaking, and the clear rise of powers like the United States.
Okay, so this isn't just dusty history. Howard's work offers some really practical lessons. Let's think about real-life applications. Number one has to be crisis management and escalation.
Oh, absolutely. His dissection of that July crisis, how rigid alliances and diplomatic inflexibility turn a regional incident into a global catastrophe, it's a masterclass.
You look at modern flashpoints, say tensions in the South China Sea or maybe a major cyber attack between nations.
Right.
The danger is the same. Getting locked into rigid positions, having no diplomatic off-ramps, no back channels. That inflexibility is just as dangerous now as the military timetables were in 1914. Flexibility is crucial for survival.
Couldn't agree more. And the second big application, organizational adaptation.
Learning from the general's mistakes.
Exactly. They were destroyed because they were wedded to that outdated offensive doctrine. They couldn't let go of the sunk cost, all the training, the planning, the mindset.
So in business or politics today,
Howard's lesson is constantly audit your core strategy, not just your quarterly results. When the environment fundamentally shifts, new tech, a global crisis, whatever you have, to be willing to adapt your foundational approach. Otherwise, the new reality will crush you, no matter how successful the old way used to be.
Wow. This deep dive really underscores the sheer scale of World War I's impact. It feels like almost everything in the modern world is touched by its shadow somehow.
It really does. For my final reflection, I keep coming back to humility. Howard's analysis isn't about finding villains. It's about understanding how enormous, world-altering events often emerge from a series of fumbles, miscalculations, unintended consequences.
Not some grand plan.
Rarely. Yeah. And that forces us to approach today's massive challenges, climate change, AI, geopolitical instability, with real caution, with humility about our ability to predict outcomes. The biggest dangers might be the ones we simply haven't imagined yet.
That's a powerful thought. What stood out most for me, thinking back, was the sheer speed and scale of the social transformation.
Yeah.
How crisis just accelerates change. The war smashed traditional gender roles, forced states to mobilize entire populations in unprecedented ways. It just shows that societies can change radically and quickly when faced with an existential threat. It's a sobering lesson, but maybe also a hopeful one about a capacity for adaptation, even amidst catastrophe. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.